Well, good morning and welcome to Resonance Church Online. My name's Aaron. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm coming to you from my office today because I just found it was a little easier to do this here rather than at home in my living room like I have the last few weeks. We're on week 6 now of Church at Home, Church Online, but we are starting something brand new today that I'm really, really excited about. We're starting a new series that I think is going to speak really powerfully into all of our lives, and specifically today, I think it's going to answer some really profound questions that we all tend to ask from time to time. Questions like, why am I here? Why am I on this planet at this time, you know, in this generation? You know, what is the meaning and purpose of my life? Have you ever found yourself asking those very important questions like I have several different times in my life? Well, I humbly want to suggest to you that you're not going to find the answers to those questions in places like Netflix or Hulu or Instagram or TikTok or Twitter. And so where do we start? Well, Shakespeare said it this way, the past is prologue. Scripture says it this way, what has been will be again. I'll say it this way, we have to look back in order to go forward. And we can't just look back anywhere. We have to look back specifically at the life of Christ, because Scripture says our life is in Christ. Jesus said, this is life, that they may know you, God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Scripture says we're dead in our transgressions until the moment we accept the message of Jesus Christ and we begin that personal relationship with him. The message of Christ is what brings us life. And then when we come to faith in him, the Holy Spirit of Jesus literally takes up residence in our hearts, in our spirits, in our souls. And we begin to live a new life in Christ. Or maybe I should say it this way, Christ begins to live his life through us. And history is prophetic. When we look at the message of Christ and the way that he lived, I'm telling you, that is the same message he wants us to carry. And that is the same way that he wants to live in our generation. The times may be different, but the message and the love of God remains the same. And so if you want to understand the meaning and purpose of your life, you have to understand the meaning and purpose of the life of Jesus Christ. And so today we're starting a brand new series called The Life of Christ. And specifically, it's going to be just a Bible study through the book of Mark in the New Testament. The book of Mark is the second gospel, but most scholars believe it was the first gospel that was actually recorded, and that a few of the other gospels actually pulled some of their information from the book of Mark. It's also the most condensed gospel. It's only 16 chapters. You can read through it in just a couple of hours, and therefore it's very action-packed. It's full of life. It's teeming with activity and profound moments. And so we are going to take our time through this, and I'm going to go through this kind of verse by verse, but I'm telling you, we're not just looking at words on a page. The intention is not just to learn information in a book. Scripture says Jesus was the Word who became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And so when we read his word, the word that is living and active, the word that is very God's breath, God breathed, becomes the breath of life in us. And as we learn the life of Christ, the word becomes flesh all over again in us as we begin to live out his life through the unique expression of our lives. And so I can't wait to start this series with you. Without further ado, I just want to jump into Mark chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8 today. And we begin to study the life of Christ. Today, you're going to discover we're beginning to study the reason, the purpose that we are on this planet. Mark chapter 1, it says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. This was John's message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John is proclaiming the end goal of our faith. God wants to baptize you with his Holy Spirit. Baptize means fill you up to overflowing. It means to immerse you in the Holy Spirit of God himself. God wants to fill you up with his character, with his nature, with his love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, till you overflow with the love of God. God, and everybody around you in your life gets drenched in it. That's what God wants to do. He wants to fill you with his presence so that you have a relationship with him, that he is living in you, and that you are living from the deepest part of you, which is the truest part of you, the presence of God in you. That is the end goal. But to reach the end, we have to start at the beginning. And so verse 1 says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, he's referencing the whole book of Mark, the whole account of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And yet, us coming to know the whole account of Jesus' life and us beginning to follow Christ, man, I'm telling you, it's just the beginning. And listen to this. This is so profound. He says, this is the beginning of Jesus' life. This is the beginning of the life of Christ, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah lived over 700 years prior to Christ. And then he quotes this verse, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness. Think about this. I find it so fascinating, so interesting that it says this is the beginning of the life of Christ. And then it quotes a book written 700 years prior to Christ. And the book is speaking about somebody totally different other than Christ, whose name is John. You see, this is why so many people in our day and age don't understand the reason and the purpose and the meaning of their lives. You know why? Because they're starting with themselves. Scripture is telling us if we want to understand the life of Jesus, we can't start with Christmas. We can't start with the day he was born in a manger and the angels sang. No, if you want to understand the life of Christ, you got to back way up. You got to back up generations. You got to back up centuries. You have to back up millennia. And so this is the beginning of the life of Christ. And he quotes Isaiah and he talks about John. Let me tell you something. Your story didn't start with you. You had parents. Every person who has ever come to exist on this planet had two parents, a mother and a father, right? Now, maybe dad didn't stick around. Maybe they gave you up for adoption. Maybe you never knew your birth parents, but you had parents. Everybody has parents. And your story really didn't even start with your parents. I mean, you might think, well, my story started when my parents met. But it goes back further than that. Where did their story start? When they were born? No, when their parents met. Well, what about when their parents met? When they were born? When their parents met? When they were born? If you go back further and further, I want you to think about this. I studied my family genealogy one time, and I was blown away by this concept. I never thought of this before. We always talk about how special our grandparents are to us. You know, we all have, every single person has four grandparents, right? Because you have two parents and they each have two parents. So you have four grandparents. We all have four grandparents. Now think about this. If you go to your great grandparents, you have eight great grandparents because each of your four grandparents had two parents. So you, when it comes to your great-grandparents, you don't have just a grandpa and a grandma. You have four grandpas and four grandmas. When you go to great-great-grandparents, you've got 16 grandmas and grandpas. When you go to great-great-great-grandparents, you've got 32 grandmas and grandpas. If you go back to about the time America became a nation, which is just about eight generations, eight greats back, you've got 1,024 grandmas and grandpas. And so some of you, I've heard some of you say, you know, when I get to heaven, I just can't wait to ask God, oh, I want to meet my grandpa. And God's going to look at you and go, which one? You know, my point is you are part of a much bigger story that is being written, and your life didn't start with you. In fact, if you trace it all the way back, we all come from the same parents, Adam and Eve. Now that's Bible, but it's also science. Did you know that? Back in 2003, a team of scientists completed mapping the human genome under a team of scientists led by a guy named Francis Collins. Collins was a devout atheist through his college years, but upon graduating, he eventually became a Christian. And after they had mapped the human genome, he wrote a book called DNA, The Language of God, in which he talked about how DNA is itself proof of intelligent design, because it is literally a language that is telling your cells how to build you. It is a language telling the cells of every living thing how to build whatever that thing is. And he's saying this is an intelligent, pre-designed, pre-encoded language. You come pre-wired by God to be you. And he said, man, that's proof that there is an intelligent designer. A few years later, another group of scientists found that all women on Earth presently have a gene in their DNA that proves scientifically beyond a shadow of a doubt they all come from the same mother, the same ancestor. All women on Earth come from one woman. Scientists have proven it. Do you know what they called that gene? They called it the Eve gene. Now, they thought they were being poetic, but I think they were being prophetic, because it's true. And all the evidence of Scripture, the ancient accounts of over 40 different authors written over a period of 1,500 years across three different continents in three different languages, and yet it tells one comprehensive story from beginning to end. All that evidence plus the scientific evidence showing that it's true, I think, makes me say that it takes more faith to be an atheist than to believe the evidence and what the evidence is saying. That Scripture is the true story of why we are on this planet, and Jesus is the centerpiece. Jesus is the cornerstone, the climax, the crux of creation. Your story didn't start with you. You know when your story started? Genesis 1, chapter 1. In the beginning, God created. And your story continued in Genesis 1, 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. That is where your story started. And the reason so many people who are searching for meaning, who are searching for purpose, who are searching for why we're here, they don't ever get it, because they don't start with the bigger story that we all exist within, which is the story that God is telling. Pastor Rick Warren, many years ago, wrote the best-selling book in history other than the Bible itself, called The Purpose-Driven Life. Purpose-driven life. Everyone wants to know, what's my purpose? Why am I here? And do you know how that book starts? Do you know what the very first sentence of that book is? It's not about you. And he goes on to write this: the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this earth, you must begin with God. You were born by his purpose and for his purpose. If you want to know the purpose of your life, you've got to know God's story. You've got to understand the life of Christ. And Jesus gives us this example. The beginning of the life of Christ, let's start with a guy named John who prepared the way for him. And what was the mantra of John's life? Oh, it's not about me. There is one coming after me who is more powerful than me, and I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. It's all about him. In fact, there's one account of John's story in John chapter 3 that John is out with his disciples, and he's telling people it's all about this guy who's coming after me, the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sins of the world. And this one day, John sees Jesus, and he says, there he is, that's him. And some of John's disciples leave and go to follow Jesus. And at one point, one of John's disciples, who was very loyal, comes up to him, and he says, hey, you know that guy that you told everybody about? Well, everybody's leaving John, and everybody's going to him. And he's baptizing people now. And he was talking about Jesus. And do you know what John's response to that person was? He says, you know, a man can only receive what is given to him from heaven. He must become greater. I must become less. John was like, no, the whole reason and purpose of my life is to point people to Jesus. It's not about me. He must become even greater. I must become less. You see, for a Christian, the story of our lives is not beginning, middle, end. And that's where people get confused, because that's what it seems like it should be. No, no, no. The story of a Christian's life is end, beginning, and middle. End. You deny yourself, take up your cross, die to your old life, so that you can follow Jesus. Your old life ends. A new life in Christ begins. You start walking with Christ. You start living for Christ, the beginning, and then you live a life that will echo into eternity. And Jesus said, those that believe in him will not taste death. Your life will go from this life straight into eternal life with God. Eternal life starts the moment you place your faith in Christ, and it never ends. And so the story of your life is meant to read end, beginning, middle. Even Jesus modeled this for us. It might surprise you, but Scripture talks about how even Jesus said that he wasn't here to live his life for him. Now think about this. Jesus is the centerpiece of history. Jesus is the cornerstone of our faith. All things are by him, for him, through him, and to him. He is the one that the story is all about. He is the star of the show. We're just supporting cast. And yet the star of the show is saying, no, it's not about me. He's saying, I came to do my Father's will. He's saying, I only say what I hear my Father saying. I only do what I hear my Father. I only do what I see my Father doing. It's not about me. It's about him. And so we look at the Father. And what does it say about the Father? It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. And God the Father's like, hey, he turns it around and makes the story about us and his love for us. You know why? Because that's what love does, and God is love. And 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is not self-seeking. So God is the epitome of selfless love. And that's why God can demand that we have to come to him, because when we come to him, he just turns us around and points us back out to love other people. God is love. Jesus is love. And love is not self-seeking. It's not selfish. It's self-seeking. list. That's why if you're always living for yourself, focused on yourself, you're never going to discover your purpose, because your purpose is love. God is love, and you are made in God's image. You're created to love and be loved. That's the meaning of life. But if you're always focused on yourself, that's not love, because love is not selfless. And so if you're living for yourself, you become more selfish. You become more unloving. That's the epitome of sin. You don't love as God loves. But if you deny yourself and make your life about loving Jesus, then Jesus turns you around and helps you and shows you how to love other people. That's why Philippians 2 says our attitude needs to be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, which means used to his own advantage, but made himself nothing, taking on the nature of a servant and becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. It's important to know the calling of Christ is for us to come and die, but it's not a calling to come and die just so that we come and suffer. No, Jesus died for the sake of love. Jesus died to love others, and he rose again to live a new life. And so we don't die to ourselves just to suffer. We die to ourselves and our selfishness so that we can love others. Jesus died on a cross so that he could pay for our sins and we could have the hope of everlasting life. And so we die to live so that we can live to love. This is the life of Christ in us. Man, I'm gonna say that again. And if you believe this, if you wanna give this a good amen, just type this in the comments down below, okay? We die to live and we live to love. This is the life of Christ in us. This is what Jesus modeled. This is what life is all about. This is how you find meaning and purpose. This is how you find your calling, is dying to yourself, dying to your hopes and dreams, and coming to Christ. Listen, don't follow your heart, follow God's heart. Don't follow your dreams, follow God's dreams for your life. This is the calling of Christianity. We die to live, and we live to love. This is the life of Christ in us. Jesus denied himself, took up his cross, and his earthly life ended. But how many of you know that was just the beginning? Scripture says that 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. We celebrated that in a special way last weekend with our Easter online services. But scripture says he was the first fruits, the firstborn over all creation. Now, some Christians and churches have used that to say, oh, Jesus was like a creation of God. He's not truly one with the Father. He's not truly divine. That is not what those verses are saying. It's saying Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. In other words, he's the first fruits from those who have risen from the dead. It's saying this. We have other scriptures that say he, by him, for him, through him, and to him, all things were created, okay? And so he pre-existed, he's eternal, he's one with the Father from eternity to eternity. What it's saying is Jesus is the first person in history, being fully God, but also fully man, who died, rose again, came back to life, was resurrected, and will never die again, will never taste death again. And he's the first one. There were some miracles in the Old Testament where people were raised from the dead. There were some miracles Jesus did where he raised people from the dead. But how many of you know? Unfortunately, those people died again, at least naturally speaking. Jesus rose from the dead, and he has continued to live from that point onward. 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven, where he still sits at the Father's right hand, waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool at his feet. He's the firstborn. And he has many sons and daughters who are going to follow in his footsteps. Many, many, many will come to believe in him. He died, he rose again to live for eternity. End, beginning, middle. Your life truly begins when it ends. And that is just the beginning. And this is just the beginning of the good news of Jesus, who lived on this earth 2,000 years ago and who is still alive in our hearts today. Man, if you believe that, just type in the comments. He is alive. I know Easter was last Sunday, but I told you last Sunday, we celebrate Easter every week at our church because we live in the resurrection of Jesus, because he's living inside of us. He is alive. He is risen. Still today, he is risen in us. And I want to encourage you, wherever you're at in your walk with God, this life itself, whatever you do in this life for Christ or with Christ, it's just the beginning. God has so much more in store for you. I want to close with this story. C.S. Lewis, the author of the beloved children's book series, The Chronicles of Narnia, was also a devout Christian. And the series itself is an allegory, and I would say a very prophetic one, that gives us a picture of what our life in Christ is like. And I love how the last book of that series, which is called The Last Battle, ends. And I want to read this to you. C.S. Lewis writes this, "And for us, this the end of all stories. This is the end of all stories. And we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and title page. Now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever and ever, in which every chapter is better than the one before." That is the hope of heaven that we have. This is just the beginning. And listen, I remember when I was coming to faith in Christ, where I realized, man, I've been living in some ways that I need to lay down if I'm gonna follow Jesus. I've got this old life's gotta end. And listen, that's a scary point to be, because you're going into the unknown, right? We see that in the life of Abraham. God called Abraham to a place I will show you. We walk by faith, and God doesn't lay out his whole journey for you at the moment he's calling you. He just says, come, follow me. And he doesn't tell you where you're going. That's a scary place to be, to let go of those fishing nets like Peter and James and John did, to let go of your livelihood for some of you, to walk into a calling of Christ, to let go of your hopes and dreams, to let go of your control, to let go of your plans for your life, to let go of a sin that quite honestly you enjoy. It's a scary thing to let go of your life and say, my life is not my own, I'm gonna follow Christ. But man, I'm telling you, if you make that decision, it's the best decision you will ever make. And you will be beginning the greatest adventure of your life that will echo into eternity. Jim Elliot was a famous missionary to an unreached tribe in the Amazon, and he gave his life to share Jesus with them. The very people that he spoke about God's love to ended up killing him because they were kind of a tribe that didn't understand God's love yet. But when he was alive, he said this, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Jesus gave his perfect life in heaven to gain your love. He is no fool who gives up his life here on earth that will soon pass away, that you can't keep, to gain that which you cannot lose, which is the life of Christ, eternal life for eternity. Let me tell you something. Jim Elliot was no fool. John the Baptist was no fool. Francis Collins, who helped map the human genome, he was no fool. Jesus Christ was no fool to give up his life for you and me, because he knew that he would gain something he could never lose, which was eternal life for all of us who would believe in him. Your life, your purpose begins when it ends in beginning, middle. This is the mantra of our lives. This is the mantra of our life in Christ. We die to live, and we live to love. This is the life of Christ in us. And man, let me tell you, He must become greater, and I must become less. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Your word to us today. We thank You so much for the life of Jesus Christ. God, I thank You so much that He left His place in heaven. He came to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many, so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could leave our past behind and be free of the guilt and shame, so that we could have a fresh start, that when we walk with Him, anytime we sin or mess up, He's right there to cover it over. Love covers over the multitude of sins, and He gives us a fresh start again, and He just continually shows us grace. His mercies are new every day. And I just thank You so much for that, God. I pray for those right now who need new mercy today, God, who need a fresh start. I pray that You would give it to them. I pray that You would refresh their souls. I pray that they would lay their burdens down. I pray that they would repent of sin and turn to You, Jesus, afresh today, that they would die to themselves daily, that we all would, so that we might live a new life in Christ, so that we could live to love You, God, and to love other people. God, I pray for everyone listening who's never known the true life of Christ, who's never given up their life on this earth so that they could know You, Jesus. I pray right now for them that You would open up their hearts in a mighty way to this truth, God. And I want to speak to those people listening right now who you've never made a decision to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. I believe today is your day. I believe the Lord was speaking to you as I was preaching, calling you to lay down your life, calling you to leave your old life behind and trust Jesus Christ and take Him by the hand, take Him up on His offer and walk with Him the rest of your days. And if that's you here today, I want to give you that opportunity. I'm going to say a very short, simple prayer that you can pray after me. Romans 10 says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead and you confess with your mouth that He's your Lord, you will be saved. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You're turning from your old life. You're saying, I don't want to live how I've been living. I want to know true life. I want to know Jesus. And let me tell you, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of a new life. But you've got to draw a line in the sand. Jesus is calling you today. He's saying, come follow me. And if you want to respond to that call, I'm going to ask you to say this prayer right now. Say this prayer with me. Say it sincerely. Say it out loud from your heart right now. Say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I want You to be my Lord and Savior. Give me the gift of Your Holy Spirit. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. And show me how to walk with You all the days of my life. In Your mighty name I pray, Jesus. Amen.